books is the second coming of Jesus,
but also the trials and persecutions that come with doing right, because the Thessalonian church was one that had experienced great persecution in different forms, and we'll see some of that tonight here in verses 14 through 16, where we left off last week. So the Bible says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." So wrath has come upon them. That is our title. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word in our hearts to teach us tonight. We are grateful for this privilege in the middle of the week. And Lord, as we open our hearts to hear from you, may we leave touched by your word as we go through the rest of the week. And we ask for your help now in Christ's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, great missionary, great church planter, but he also faced a lot of resistance, a lot of attacks, a lot of persecution. And that's an example that we will face the same if we choose to set out to serve the Lord and do right. We will also face persecution. Matter of fact, next week we'll look at verse 18, where he said, "We would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Satan hinders our efforts many times because he hates it when people hear the gospel. So expect persecution if you choose to set out and serve God. Notice he says there in verse 14 that the church at Thessalonica had suffered of their own countrymen. So they hadn't necessarily suffered as much from the Jews as their own countrymen. Because this, remember, was a Gentile church in Greece, northern Greece. And their own fellow Grecians had tried to resist the work there, the church being planted in that city and so forth. But if you look at 2 Timothy 3:12, the Bible teaches that when we choose to set out and live for God and put God first in our lives, we also will face persecution. Why is that? Because Satan is the god of this world. And he always does his best to resist the work of God. So notice I keep saying when you set out to live for God, because Christians who just sit down and wait for Jesus to come and don't do anything for God, Satan doesn't need to hinder that, does he? It's only when we set out to serve the Lord, like the Apostle Paul did. 2 Timothy 3:12, he says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's a promise. That if we choose to live godly, we will face persecution. And another one, 1 Peter 4:16, if you want to turn over there. 1 Peter 4:16, and notice it was from their own countrymen. So it wasn't from strangers, it wasn't from the Jews, it was from fellow Grecians that they had faced this resistance to the church. 1 Peter 4:16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." In other words, if you suffer because you're a Christian, don't be ashamed. Say, "Thank you, Lord. I get to experience just a touch of what Jesus experienced for me." And so he says that you became followers of the churches in the area, but you've also suffered from your own countrymen. But then he sets off in the rest of this passage to focus on the Jews. So let's go back to it. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. He's talking about the churches who he mentioned there earlier in the verse, the churches in Judea. And he says, "even as they have of the Jews." So it's talking about how these Judean churches had suffered persecution of the Jews. And then he summarizes for us the Jews' resistance to the truth. and their subsequent wrath from God. So let's look at that. So notice verse 15. They killed the Lord Jesus. They killed their own prophets. They persecuted Paul. They're contrary to all men. They forbade Paul and his companions to speak to the Gentiles. So that's quite a list, isn't it? Now, we are to love the Jews. We're to pray for the Jews. But the Jews have been facing this wrath now for a very long time for rejecting Jesus. And it's not over. But let's just walk through these one at a time. Killed the Lord Jesus. When the apostles preached, often they were direct with the Jews about this. Let's go to Acts 4:10 and we'll see an example. But when they preached, they didn't preach to tickle people's ears, I'll say that. Especially when they preached to the Jews. They had not read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. They just gave it straight. Amen? So notice here in Acts 4:10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. So this is when Peter healed the man that had been on the porch forever, his whole life pretty much, crippled. And all the people came rushing. How's this possible? And he's giving God all the glory here in Acts 4:10. But just those three words, whom ye crucified. So he's not mincing words there, is he? You Jews crucified Jesus. And then go to chapter 5 and we'll see it again. Verse 30. So again, Peter's preaching. And Peter is answering the leaders who are telling them essentially stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And Peter's answer in verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men, which we all appreciate that verse. But look at verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. So there he does it again, talking to these Jewish leaders. You killed Jesus and you hung him on a tree. Because remember, they tried to wash their hands of it and make Pilate take responsibility for it. But they also said, his blood be upon us and our children, didn't they? So they killed the Lord Jesus. And he went on to say in verse 15, 1 Thessalonians, and they killed their own prophets. Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 52. Many of God's prophets in the Old Testament were killed by the Jews, sadly. Acts 7:52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? This time it's Stephen preaching, by the way. And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. So it's no wonder Stephen got stoned, huh? But notice he says, which of the prophets? Pick one of the prophets in the Old Testament, Stephen preaching, that your fathers didn't persecute. And they slew many of them who had prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, and you have been the betrayers and murderers of Jesus Christ. So they killed Jesus. They killed their own prophets. Then he says in verse 15, and they persecuted Paul, which we see that every time Paul went into a town, it seems like the Jews would come following along. And not necessarily the Jews of that town sometimes, but there was just this contingent of Jews that would follow him around and come into the town and find the Jews and stir them up. That Paul is here. It's not right. He's against Israel. And Paul might get stoned. He might get put in prison. He might have to flee. But they constantly were persecuting Paul. Notice it says, and contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. Look at chapter 14 of Acts, and we'll see this. And so he's summarizing here that you Grecians at Thessalonica have faced persecution of your own countrymen, but all the churches in Judea have been seeing the same, this persecution from the Jews. They killed Jesus, they killed their prophets, they persecuted Paul, and they, for to their best of their ability, they tried to forbid Paul from speaking to the Gentiles. So notice in, here in Acts 14:19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium." So these Jews aren't from this area. They actually are finding out where Paul is, and here they come, "who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." So they would come into town, they would stir up the Jews and say, "This Paul is an evil man. He is against Israel." And sometimes, like in this case, they actually would stone Paul. This case, in this particular instance, they thought Paul was dead. It might have been the time when God gave him that glimpse of heaven. We don't know. But then if you go to Acts 17, we'll see it again. Verse 13. So this time, it's the Jews from Thessalonica. It says, "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." So the Jews were constantly trying to stop Paul. Didn't work. Amen. The churches got planted and we're here today because of those churches. Hallelujah. So go back to our passage in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 2. "To fill up their sins alway." What a sad statement. To fill up their sins. You know, Jesus made a similar statement in Matthew 23, if you want to turn there, in verse 32. Matthew 23 and verse 32. He's rebuking Israel again here in Matthew 23. In verse 32, he says, "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers." How sad. He says in verse 31, "Ye are the children of them which killed the prophets." So for all of this, he says there in verse 16, "the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." To the uttermost. Wrath. So what is this wrath? Well, they're already in wrath, aren't they? They're the most hated nation on earth. It's been that way for 2,000 years. And as early as 70 AD, Jerusalem was razed to the ground. I think Jesus talked about that in Matthew 21. So turn back there if you would. But here toward the end of Christ's ministry, some of his parables were very condemning of Israel because of their rejection of him, their rejection of the prophets. So this parable here, Matthew 21:33, the parable of the wicked husbandman, is pronounced against Israel. Notice verse 33. "Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, hedged it round about, digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another." So who's that? That's those prophets. That's those Old Testament prophets. "Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son." Well, who's the son? Jesus Christ. Amen. "But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" So remember, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. He tells them this parable and asks them for the answer. And listen to what they say. They say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men They're condemning themselves because the parable is about them. And let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Look at this next verse. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. So they figured it out. Uh-oh, this is about us. Jesus is actually pronouncing condemnation on us, Israel. The wrath of God. Then he did it again in the next chapter. Let's turn over there. Chapter 22. Verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepare my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and other to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and had treated them spitefully and slew them. There it is again. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Right there is a prophecy of 70 AD. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And you know the rest of the parable. And it wasn't done. Go to chapter 24, and we'll see it one more time. Verse 1. And so the Lord Jesus Christ also pronounced wrath upon Israel for their rejection of the prophets, their rejection of him as the Messiah. 24:1, Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that's exactly what happened when Titus came through and literally ripped down every building in Jerusalem. But that's not all, is it? Jerusalem was destroyed. Israel's been living under wrath now for 2,000 years. It's not going to get better. It's actually going to get worse. Because what's coming is what we call the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period. It's at the beginning of the day of the Lord. And if you had to pick one word to describe the character of the tribulation period, those in the eschatology class, what would that word be, Howard? Wrath. It's a time of wrath. A Jewish dispensation where God pours out his wrath upon Israel. So this is very prophetic here in 1 Thessalonians 2:16. The wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. The whole world will be against Israel yet again during the tribulation period, and it will be a terrible, terrible time of wrath. What does that mean for you and me? Well, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. There's two more verses and we'll finish. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. When we did our study on the rapture, one of the things we found was one of the reasons why the church can't go into the tribulation period is because it's a time of wrath. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. If we went into the tribulation period, then God would be pouring out his wrath upon the church. And the church is the body of Christ. So he'd be pouring out his wrath upon his son again. Well, that's already done at Calvary, amen? And then again in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been delivered from the wrath to come, but Israel as a nation has not. Their wrath is only going to get worse. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, you Thessalonians, you've suffered of your own countrymen, but all those churches in Judea have suffered of the Jews. They killed Jesus. They killed their prophets. They keep persecuting me as a church planter for Jesus, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. And because of that, wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. The day of the Lord is coming, a time of wrath for Israel. And those two parables lay it out very clearly, don't they? Those were Jesus pronouncing wrath upon Israel. That doesn't mean we shouldn't keep praying for them, amen, because we're commanded to. They are still God's chosen people. They will not be completely wiped out. A remnant will survive and inherit the kingdom. But for now, this prophecy, 2,000 years later, is still true. Wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and this little prophetic lesson for us, Lord. And just a reminder that rejecting Jesus is the worst thing we could ever do. It is the unpardonable sin. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us those opportunities to tell others how they can be rescued from the consequences of their sin by going to hell. They can be rescued because of what Jesus did. They will but understand and believe the gospel and trust Christ as their Savior. In the meantime, Lord, we do pray for your people, Israel, that they would see the light, that they would see Jesus as the answer and turn to him. And Lord, we pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, we pray, Lord, that it will all happen according to your perfect will. And we know it will, but we're excited about what's next for us. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.